In other words, it's important that we should not just know, in a superficial sense, other people coming along to the same center, but that we should develop some kind of feeling or relationship of Kalyana Mitrata with them. You all know, I'm sure, at least in theory, and maybe in many cases in practice, that Kalyana Mitrata is one of the great fundamental principles of the FWBO. It's something that we stress again and again. And of course, I suppose we have to admit that at least in the early days, we talked about it so much because there was actually so very little of it around. But things have changed. And though we go on talking about it, there is now quite a lot of it around. And as I'm sure most, if not all of you know, we distinguish between vertical spiritual friendship with those who, as far as one can see, are more experienced in the spiritual life, even more advanced than oneself, and horizontal spiritual friendship, that is to say, friendship with those who are on approximately the same level as yourself. So, it's not enough just to attend classes. Good though that is. It's not enough to attend classes but not make any friends. This used to be what happened in British Buddhist groups, and I believe still happens in some of them. I remember when I came back to England, to Britain, 30 years ago, well, it's 32 years ago now, this was one of the things that I noticed. People coming along to classes, to Buddhist classes, meditation classes, or going on retreats, seemed to think it wasn't quite the done thing to talk to one another, to talk to the other people coming along. In fact, in some Buddhist circles, it was definitely discouraged. You were supposed to go along, listen to the teacher, take something in, and go away with it without, if possible, speaking to anybody. And, well, people genuinely thought that this was the right and proper thing to do, that this was what the Buddhists should do, and that one shouldn't even talk to other people about Buddhism or the fact that one was a Buddhist. I remember the classic example, which I sometimes refer to, is of a lady who came to see me one day, and she said, "Bhante, you know, I've been a Buddhist for 17 years, but not even my best friends know." And she evidently felt that this was an achievement, that she managed to conceal the fact that she was a Buddhist, even from her best friends, for 17 years. So yes, we want each and every FWBO center to be a place where the theory and practice of Kalyana Mitrata is thoroughly understood. It should be a sort of loneliness in the midst of the desert of a world which very often, unfortunately, is a rather unfriendly place. But nonetheless, let me sound a little note of warning. Kalyana Mitrata is an excellent thing, of course. It's one of the great foundations of the FWBO. But there is a danger. Kalyana Mitrata has a near enemy. I expect you're all familiar with this idea of the near enemy and the far enemy, so I won't go into it. One may say that at least so far as our public centres are concerned, the near enemy of Kalyana Mitrata is mere socialising. And sometimes people don't quite see the difference, or at least the Kalyana Mitrata sort of merges insensibly into just socializing. But we have to remember that an FWBO center is not a social center, and we shouldn't treat it as such. I'll give you a little example, not from the FWO, but an experience of mine outside the FWO, so that no centre will think that I might be getting at them. I remember being on, I was going to say on a retreat, but no, it wasn't on a retreat. I was staying at a certain yoga centre. I won't tell you where it was. It wasn't in the United Kingdom. I was staying at a certain yoga centre. I was just there as a guest for a few days. A certain other spiritual group was having a weekend retreat there at that time. I happened to be sitting inside my room, and I was just sitting underneath the window, and outside the window there was a bench, and during one of the breaks in the meditation, two people who were on that retreat, belonging to that other spiritual group, sat and started talking. So they just talked for 2 or 3 minutes about their meditation. One asked the other, "How's the meditation going?" And he said, "Oh, not so bad." They just talked about it for a couple of minutes. Then they started talking about cars. And they talked about cars for at least half an hour. So that's the sort of thing I mean here. Yeah? The context is spiritual. The context, perhaps in our case, is Buddhist. Huh? So let's keep it that way. Yeah? Be glad to see our friends. Yes, inquire after their health, what they're doing. But make sure that the Kalyana Mitrata, which we feel and experience, doesn't slide insensibly into a sort of idle socializing and idle chatter. Huh? Just remember the words of the dedication ceremony. Here may no idle word be spoken. Huh? So we mean that quite literally. Here may no idle word be spoken. So it's something that we should remember and take and lay very much to heart. In the East, in India, there's a very interesting custom which we follow it here. You leave your shoes outside the shrine room. You leave your shoes outside the temple. Now that's not just so that you don't carry any dirt in. It has a symbolic significance. Don't take into the shrine room, don't take into the centre your worldly affairs, your worldly interests. Leave them behind with your shoes. So perhaps you should or could make it a sort of practice. You come into the centre, but you don't leave your shoes just outside the door because, might not find them there afterwards. Not everybody in Manchester is Buddhist. Right, come upstairs, leave your shoes outside the shrine room door, and just sort of reflect to yourself. Here I leave my shoes. Here I leave all thoughts about family, job. Here I leave my greed, hatred and delusion, and I just go into the shrine room with no other thought than the Dharma. This could be quite a useful little spiritual exercise. And if we act and if we behave in this spirit, only then will we be able to make real use of the centre.